from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the Path.
And you're listening to Life of the Path. Coming at you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to see you. What?
You better set the bar low tonight, boys.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's going to be interesting.
Pre-show conversation did not produce fruit.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot there.
Hey, man. Dan
I was saving it.
Dan is showing up twice.
Well,
hey,
know.
Dan.
How you doing?
Okay, there we go. Hey, so here's what's going on. Actually, now Mike's showing up twice.
Here. How about we do that?
What in the heck? No, now I'm showing up twice.
How about...
Give one to Boova.
I'm getting dizzy.
Here am I.
All right, here's...
We're good?
Anyway, thanks for coming live from the Path. We do appreciate you hanging out with us. We have probably a lackluster show tonight. Here's the deal. If you got other stuff going on, and this is one of the nights you came on, and you're like, you know, I could bail, I could stay on, you could probably go.
Yeah.
I would understand.
We're going to do our best, though.
I'm not going to take... Okay.
The best?
We're going to do our best.
No, but we're gonna do our best, though.
Why did I sound
now listen here. Nobody who doesn't have a kid in Little League goes to Little League. That's what I'm saying. That's what's going on here tonight, boys.
Yeah, okay, that sounds about right.
That's fair.
It's like...
I'll agree to that. Fine.
This is Little League night.
I tried to talk us up a little bit. Yeah, it didn't work.
Those are lies, Troy.
All right, so here's what we got going on tonight.
See right through it.
Troy's got some Pope-style advice.
Yes,
so we're going to walk through that. Interesting study. I want to talk about cell phone usage. I feel like it's ruining people, including myself.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I want to talk about it. I also want to talk about prayer when it comes to big events in your life. At the offset don't sound like they have a religious significance. And the question is how big is a big thing? How do you know when something's big? So let's say something's going to happen in your life, and you're like, well, I want to pray on it. You pray on it, you don't feel like you hear anything. And like, it could be that God is just like, you know, I don't care. You know, whatever, drink the coffee.
I think I can speak into this.
I'll give you an example, then I'll give you a different example. So example number one is, hey man, I'm thinking about getting coffee at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Or I might have a soda, I don't know. Maybe should I put it to the Lord? And let's say you pray on it, right? And you're like, I didn't really hear anything back. Do I wait? Do I neither get the coffee nor the soda?
Do I wait?
or is it just somewhere it's like, you know what?
God's going to have clear direction.
Take your time, Jehovah.
So
I'll just wait it out.
I think, you know, if you look at that example, maybe you're like, well, you know, maybe God doesn't care, right? But when you start ratcheting it up, what type of life circumstance is it like, no, I feel like I shouldn't move forward? So that's coming up.
Yeah,
we're
going to
talk about that.
Yeah,
and also we got some advice on Dear Life in the Path, and I want to remind you that Life in the Path is brought to you by Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnston. Here's the deal: if you're having trouble, if your pet's giving you fits, I mean fits, you know, he's scratching at stuff. I don't know, maybe he's just got a bad ill temper.
It's very overlooked. People are like, oh, the dog licked me. He's got bad breath. Dogs are not supposed to have bad breath.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They're not. It's not supposed to be that way. I mean, if they just got done eating something unsavory, then that's a different thing.
Maybe you should stop giving your dog garlic.
But here's the deal: like, if they have bad breath, they have bad teeth. They need to go into the Westfield and get that dental business looked at. It is the most overlooked area of your dog's health, and it's the one that can cause an enormous amount of pain and an enormous amount of infection problems with your animal. So you need to get them in there.
Yeah,
I did not talk with them about this ahead of time, but I'm fairly certain that's right.
People at Westfield will definitely.
Hey, no, that Boova's got a point. The people at Westfield could tell you whether that's good.
Yeah, they'll definitely know if halitosis is a big deal. If you got bad breath in your dog, that's going to cause some trouble.
And here's the deal: you kicking the dog is not solving the halitosis.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, unfortunately,
go away.
I tried multiple times. It does not work.
Here's what I've never done: I've never taken my dog or cat or other animal to a vet hospital, and their solution was, get away from me with a shove. Hey, get off the couch. Hey, quit bothering me. Hey, or one of these numbers. Hey, go lay down. I've never seen the vet do that, which means
I snapped.
It's not solving any problems. Or go outside. You bad.
Get out of here. Quit breathing on me. Quit licking me. You're slobbering all over the place.
Here's the deal. I have a bloodhound, and I just recently, in the last month or so, acquired three goats. And the dog is so starving for attention that it now acts like the goats. Like it goes out there and eats grass.
That's awesome.
With the goats in the middle of the grass. The goats are tearing it up. I mean, they're eating trees and weeds and junk. And the dog's out there doing the exact same thing for absolutely no reason.
Are these the goats that like fall over when you clap?
No. We didn't get
those. He's got normal goats.
No, that's a... I can't remember what the word I'm looking for. Evil. To take your human enjoyment out of making goats faint.
Look at that.
I mean, sinister was the word I was looking for. It's sinister. You know, why would I pay money for a goat just so I can make fun of him for scaring the crap out of him?
It
seems wrong. Anyway, Westfield Veterinary Hospital.
But why did you get goats? Like for cheese? Are you doing goat cheese?
No, they're not dairy goats. They clean parts of the yard that I can't mow.
Yeah, that's good.
No, yeah.
I love that. I've often thought that I, as opposed to a lawnmower, I just like to get. There's, in fact, where is that happened? There was like a city or a province or something who was having trouble keeping up, and so they just brought a bunch of goats in.
Yeah,
and they just wandered the city for a while cleaning up.
They're beastly. I mean, they can take out a decent patch of area in a day, and we have a mama goat and then two little boy goats. Little boy goats can't be counted on for nothing, but that mama goat, she's intense. I mean, you give her like a 6-10 foot lead, and she will just eat a circle around herself. I mean, she's the business.
Huh.
And she's a well-behaved goat, too. Like, she comes when you call her. You can pat her on the stomach. She'll walk with you. She'll sniff your face. She's a good goat.
Hey, man, I need to mow pretty soon. If they want some more grass, like a different style, yeah. Different bit of flavor, they can come on out.
Actually, I rent them out. It's $4 a day.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, $4.
Are you kidding me?
Can they eat my whole yard in a day?
Nah, probably not a day. It'd probably take a couple 3 days. You fresh shuckster. Water.
I bet they could do it in two. You're just having them prolay so that you get 12
they
bones.
They take however long they take. If you want to give them back after 2 days, that's your business. $4 a day.
Do you come? Do you pick them up?
I'll drop them off.
Do you clean
Mike,
up their
we
mess?
Might have to talk about
There's
this.
No mess. They're small. The goat, because they're eating grass, the goat exit is actually the best fertilizer out there. So he'll cut it. He'll make it green, and then he'll get himself another job by making it grow.
I want to ask what the catch is, dude, because I know Brandon would have, my nephew would have a great time with the goats just kind of.
He don't like kids. He eats kids.
The goat eats kids.
Yeah, I don't want to give my goat over to your place now that you said that.
Isn't that the three Billy Goats Gruff?
All right, yeah. Fair enough.
That's that's a troll.
It sounded like a situation, so $4 a day.
I'm still for it.
Yeah, right. So am I.
Anyway.
Westfield don't know.
Yeah, go to Westfield. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, here's the deal. We don't know animals. You should check in with them. Also, if you're buying or selling a home, contact the Eisenhower team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Bob Eisenhower can help you out. He's good people.
Yeah.
He'll help you get your here's the deal. You may be holding out. You're like, I'm going to make some big money off my place. You make some big money. But the problem is
you don't know anything about real estate.
No, you
not
don't.
A bit.
You're not in the article you read on the net. That guy doesn't know anything about real estate either.
Yeah, you remember that for sale by owner sign you saw in your neighbor's yard for a year and a half? It's because he doesn't know anything about real estate.
And I'll tell you this: if you found good advice on the internet, it didn't come from a realtor. You know why? Because realtors don't give out free advice. Otherwise, that would put him out of business.
Yeah, exactly.
So anybody that claims that says, you know, I'm Chuck Johnson, realtor, here's my advice, he's a crappy realtor. That's why he's giving away free advice on the net.
Exactly, because no one wants to pay for it.
Exactly. Hire a realtor. Just get it done. He'll help you price your house right. Get it sold fast, because I tell you what, money is not valuable unless it's actually in your pocket. A house that you have overpriced that never sells is not big money. It's just a house that's not selling.
Yeah.
So anyway, contact Bob Eisenhower at the Eisenhower team. He'll help you out. And if nothing else, give him a quick call and say thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path and keeping us on the air. Check out this article. I want to talk about the cell phones. I feel like the cell phone is ruining my life.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, good.
I can stop anytime I want.
So here we go.
This says the man sitting in front of a laptop, an iPad, and his cell phone right next to each other. All three of them, Dan.
I like to look important.
So study shows Americans use smartphones even during sex and at church. Those are two separate things, by the way. Apparently, I read it too fast when I was talking with Boob about it, and it sounded like sex in church.
And it threw me off, and
That's definitely wrong.
Yeah, I had to have him read it to me again. So
here we go. A new study, which provides insight into the behaviors of Americans with regard to their smartphones, shows that consumers use their devices just about everywhere, even during sex and at church, among other unusual places. In an online study conducted by the market research firm Harris Interactive on behalf of the mobile company Jumio, 1 in 10 admitted to checking their phones in the shower or during sex. The percentage jumps to 20% among those aged between 18 and 34 years. Have you ever checked a phone in a shower?
I don't take showers, Ben.
Fair enough.
That's disgusting.
I let the goats clean me.
That's what goats are for.
These goats are a lot more talented than I expected. When you said three goats, you got. I just
four
was not
bucks.
Expecting.
You get a shower.
$4 a day. You get a shower. They'll mow your lawn. They will eat your children. It's great.
I've turned the tunes on and put it next to the shower so I can listen to tunes. But I don't know that I've been looking for updates.
Yeah, I've never been so detached from the showering experience that I have right now that I'm able to just kind of check the phone real quick.
I wonder what's going on
or
up there.
I haven't even called
me. Or I've never had that important of a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if the conversation can't wait in a shower, maybe you're taking way too long of a shower.
Or so, you took one at the wrong time. Like if you're in a heated debate with somebody, you're like, hold up, bro. Got to go take a shower.
I feel like you can take a quick 7-minute shower then and then respond within a reasonable time.
Yeah.
Wow. Seven minutes. No way.
What?
No way. The shower is my vacation to Chile.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been there as long as possible. I mean, the water has to. I have not gotten out of the shower when the water had colded me out for like probably twice over 10 years.
Really?
Have I gotten out voluntarily before the hot water ran out? Otherwise, I'll ride that pony until it dies.
That's what I'm saying. So people can take these extremely long showers, but you know, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't. You know, I've taken a long shower as well, but you can do a shower in a couple minutes. You don't have to be in there.
Oh, yeah. I used to have my girls, when they were younger, set the oven timer for 6 minutes, and then we'd race. And I'd say, I'll be back before that timer goes off. And I'd run in, take a shower, get all dressed, and come back out. And
were you trying to conserve water or just take really fast showers?
I was in a hurry. Got something to do.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, hold on. Let me continue with the
I'm still trying to figure out the intimacy part, though.
Yeah.
That's got to make a man feel special.
That's got to tell you something's not really...
Yeah. Hold on, baby.
is really important.
I feel like we could take the pantomime this way too far. So
Life from the Path has posted something on the Facebook. I just want to check it out.
Yeah.
And it doubles in those aged 18 to 34 years. Okay, so... when even the most intimate of moments is in the cell phone free zone. Good call, Booba, by the way. We should probably get off that subject. Perhaps it's no coincidence that 12% of respondents in a relationship said they believe their smartphone gets in the way of that relationship, notes the survey released Thursday. That's true for me. That is true for me. If my phone is on me, I will respond to a notification, right? Got a new email, got a text message, whatever. I'll check it. I can't let it sit in my pocket and have it not checked.
I won't do it if I'm like on an eye-to-eye conversation with someone. If we're just sitting in the living room or something together, like family time, I'll check. But
That's one of the many reasons that I haven't actually switched to getting a smartphone. The fact is I don't want to pay the extra bits of bill to get more data and all the information, all the stuff that goes along with getting a smartphone. I have an older style flip phone that's completely up to date. I mean, it's not technologically outdated. It just doesn't have all the bells and whistles. And that's exciting for me because the fact that I know my tendencies is I could very easily just sit glued to a phone all day playing the games, doing the notifications on Facebook or whatever social networking site I'm on. And then every time I get an email, immediately respond to it. In certain circumstances, I can definitely see how it'd be beneficial to have one. But I know myself and I know my tendencies.
I don't think I even have any games.
I took mine off because the kids were always trying to borrow my phone and soak up the battery.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, with the Candy Crush.
I put games
on
my phone from my kids.
Yeah, that's what my brother does. He puts games on his tablet and his phone.
No, they're always trying to take my phone and play the games and try to keep them off it. I kick them outside.
I will tell you, I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I actually do take my girlfriend's phone every once in a while to play that, what is it, Candy Crush? That game?
I've heard of it. I haven't.
Yeah, I got addicted to it a little bit when she started playing it in front of me.
Yeah.
So I'm terrible. But yeah,
at church, we encourage people to use their smartphones.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Like, let's say you didn't do this. Do you think the current culture is gonna? I mean, the current way that things get done, is it gonna pass you by and make you ineffective? Because here's the deal: like, when I send an email, I expect a response within about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And if I don't get it, I start to get irritated because I'm like, I know you got your phone on you. I know. Why don't you respond to my email? You know? Why don't you tell me what's up? Because I just sent you said, hey. What's happening, you know, and you didn't write back to me. Same with a text message. If I call somebody, they don't answer the phone, that's the ultimate insult to me. I'm like, I know you have your phone on you. I know everyone does. Yeah. I called you and you didn't answer it. What are you,
everybody does.
What could you possibly be doing?
Now, I would say my ringer is off probably 85% of the time. Like, if my phone rings, I'm with someone, I will not answer the phone because I figure that's kind of rude.
Yeah. I my phone is normally off 10 to 12 hours a day.
There was a guy that posted on Facebook and said that gave like an advance notice. It said, just so you know, if my wife calls me, like I will stop our conversation. If it's my wife, she comes first, I will answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I was of two minds about that because I thought, you know, I mean, like in general order of priority, I suppose that's true, but.
Yeah, but if you were sitting in the same room, your wife wouldn't just interrupt. If you're having a conversation, you and Booba talking, she wouldn't come and say, hey, Ben, hey, hey, you know, I mean.
Answer me with this sweet ringtone I have.
So, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. This is not surprising given that 72% of those polled said they stay within 5 feet of their smartphones most of the time.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I do that.
I'm with that, too.
I tell you what, though, I use my smartphone for a lot of good, I think. I download a bunch of podcasts and stuff. I listen to a lot of sermons on my phone.
Put the Bible on.
Yeah. There's definitely advantages to having it. I would never doubt that at all, but I know that I have those resources other places. I know that I've got my own personal laptop. So a lot of that stuff I don't need on my phone. So a lot of people have the Bible apps that you can have on your phone, and then, like you said, downloading the podcast and everything like that, which is, I mean, it's absolutely convenience, and I would never argue that fact. But I've got a phone, and it's a phone. Like, that's what it does. It has this app. It's called Telephone, and you can call out and talk to people. It's crazy. And then it has text. That's really the amenities that I have on my phone. Everything else that a lot of people do on their smartphones, I do on my laptop.
Yeah.
So two separate things, whatever.
Huh. Yeah, I think I'd get rid of it, though.
Would you be able to ditch it for like a week?
Well, here's the deal. Like, we just got smartphones a couple months ago, and about 2 weeks in, I decided it was the biggest mistake I'd ever made, and I needed to get rid of them because it was taking up time. I mean, huge amounts of time. Every transition, you know, like if I were going to get up and go from the living room to the kitchen, I'd pick up my phone on the way by, make sure nothing happened, and then put it back down. You know, well, this starts to get. I start to have transitions like every 5 minutes for something. Yeah, yeah. You know, I need to go to the bathroom. Better grab my phone just in case something happens. You know. And so, like, that's ridiculous. That's getting too much, you know? Yeah. Like, the kids are trying to talk to me. I'm like, hang on, I just got to check this. Hang on, I just got to check my thing. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? You got to get rid of these smartphones. This is what happens to people. And so I almost gave it up, and instead I installed some limits here and stopped carrying it on me. And so, like, I'll set it down and you know, lose track of it or whatever. And that's actually really helped. But I realized that it was... This is going to sound like a kind of a heavy assessment, but it was idol worship is what it was, to be honest with you. Like, I was seeking, I want to know what everyone was doing. Yeah. I turned to some kind of gossip mill, and, you know, and like, oh, tell me, oh, God, phone. You know, what should I do? What should I do next? Should I say something sassy on that one post? You know, I'm like, I got to get out of this.
Don't love this.
It's terrible. And so, you know, I put it down. I try to stay away from it most of the time, really.
I think it's like anything. You just got to control it.
Yeah, to be honest, with Mike's situation, I think that's very, very common. Mm-hmm. You know, I do agree that the idol worship can be a bit of a harsh comment to make, but I wholeheartedly believe that can happen quite a bit with a lot of people.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. It's like, you're like, well, it's not idol worship. What do you call it? You know, I mean, you're putting all your attention
my buddy.
My best friend. No, it can definitely get to that point. That's absolutely something that happened, and I'm not doubting that at all.
I think
to put that as a rubber stamp on a lot of the situations would be a little bit too harsh.
Because you're a yellow-bellied... Nancy Man.
Oh, I'm more than happy to tell you that's idol worship what you're doing. So.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
I'm telling you that right to their face. I don't think it's too worried about that.
I mean, if you're cutting your shower and have to get to your phone, you've got a problem.
I can't even be safe.
Exactly.
29% admitted to peeping on someone else's phone.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
I'm sitting there.
Excuse me while I move my phone.
Right. Whenever my girlfriend and I are sitting down and we're watching TV, if she's sitting right next to me and then does something on her phone, I catch myself just because of a movement and I'm intrigued and curious. I look over and then immediately catch myself, and she'll hear me all the time saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to stare at your phone, and then look back at the
TV.
You're
like a raccoon.
I don't get the deal because, I'm like, I don't care. You can look at anything on my phone. There's nothing
she
secret.
Doesn't mind it at all, but whenever she like gets the phone call or text message, I look over too because I hear the chime and I'm just like, oh, well, what's going on Tessa's phone? And then, wait, never mind. Turn away. I don't need to be looking at that. That's her personal phone. Yeah. So I've caught myself doing it.
I got nothing that's...
Not intentionally I'm trying to figure out somebody's business, but...
It's like people can go through every inch of all my stuff, and it's like they'd be pretty bored.
Yeah, there's not a bit of luck anywhere
on
my phone.
You're like Cheerios. Yeah, I sure do. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's about it.
I made 3 phone calls last week. Awesome.
And it all said 1 in 5 Americans polled admitted to using their phones in church. 20%. Here's another thing they said. 12% or 1/3 of the respondents said they use phones at a child's or school function. You bet I would. That stuff's boring. I don't know. Here's what I don't know.
It's painful.
I went to the hospital because someone was – I needed to go visit somebody at the hospital. And I was, you're just waiting in the waiting room. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, what did people do 20 years ago?
Yeah,
now,
newspaper?
Yeah, that's a good point. Phone is you can actually dim the screen. So in the dark school event, you can make it nice and dark and you can still do stuff.
As a random sidebar to that, I actually so have you guys gone to the movies lately where they're doing these new things with smartphones?
I haven't done it.
There's a thing going. I think you have to have a specific type of phone for it to work. But so to further push people of not using their phones during movies, obviously be super bright and really distracting to everybody, they're doing rewards for shutting off your phone. And I recently went to a movie where I was astonished by the whole thing. They said if you turn off your – so text this number, and it was one of those 5-digit short dial codes. Text this number and turn off your phone right afterwards. And when you turn back on your phone will have had a dream. And it's basically – so they'll send a text message to your phone, and it has to – you have to wait the full like 2.5 hours or 3 hours – and then you'll get a text message to your phone that says what your phone was dreaming about. And I didn't see it successfully work. It looks like it's just some random, like, oh, your phone went to this, blah, 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 and this happened. And it's just a weird little thing to make you turn off your phone. And, like, you can get rewards for it. Like, they give you, like, points. Like, you can get online points for turning off your phone.
And get a free phone silent.
Right. Like, yeah, no, exactly. It's just like you get a free like phone with a cancel sign through it, like on your t-shirt or something. I don't know. But they're pushing these rewards for you to turn off your phone during movies.
I read somewhere
for a greater movie experience.
Yeah, yeah. I just read the other day that there's some Nordstrom or something that did some little test thing where they were monitoring people's smartphones and somehow they were going to use that like to determine your spending habits and stuff. Like if you were in the store, and I don't know how they're monitoring it. Probably using a drone or something, whatever. And but I don't know. A drone flying around the store.
Yeah.
But
don't
people,
mind
people call
me,
it so
sir.
They stopped it. It's kind of creepy to think they can find out all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has to do with that. You can check website habits.
Yeah.
What search engine you use.
Like,
what you
if you're watching, looking at the oil, sell that there, I suppose. You're looking at the women's shorts, whatever.
Just checking.
You know, what are you looking at? And they try to combine all that to try to get you. Sell anymore.
Interesting stuff from folks.
I guess broadly, I think I got stuff to learn here. I'm too close to the phone. It provides a certain sense of a false sense of self-importance. Not that I look at them like, I'm important, but like, hey, I want to help people. If people need help, I want to respond. I want to get back to them quickly. I want to, just like I would hope that someone would get back to me quickly. But then I end up like serving a bunch of people in stupid things and not actually serving, say, my family or my friends or whatever's going on in immediate vicinity in a solid thing where I should be focusing my attention and time.
Yeah.
You know, like some things can wait.
My daughter, Danielle, will at times look around and say, everybody, turn off your phone. Turn off your iPad. We're having a conversation.
Oh.
And we're like, hey, I can do this. I can do both.
I have some friends that do that with family, like during dinner, when they're sitting down for dinner.
Yeah,
their dad will pass basically like a basket, and everyone has to turn off their phones and put their phone in the basket. And then he takes the phone basket to another room, sets it down, and then comes back, and they have dinner. No phones whatsoever. No electronics. Everyone sits there, and they talk about their day. It's sad that they have to do that.
Yeah.
Can't you just text each other the whole time?
Pass the rolls.
Just Snapchat what's going on. Just Snapchat your turkey. Like, mom, it's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's sad that we have to do that, but we've gotten to that extreme.
That's probably the long and short of it.
Anyway, you're listening live from the path. Hopefully not on your mobile phone.
Turn it
you're
off.
A terrible person. Idolatry.
We're coming at you every Monday night at 10 o'clock at livefromthepath.org. Otherwise, you can catch the show at 7 p.m. every Saturday on 99.3 KTA, and we're glad to have you on either one, although you can be part of the scintillating live chat that goes on the Monday Night Show if you want to come on. Although, just to recall, I did warn you, tonight's show was going to be iffy.
Little League.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Boova, people have come up to your house, and they say, and they've mistaken you for the Pope.
Terrible
and they
mistake.
Refuse to leave your place until you give them some sort of advice that is reflective of your own life that can help them on their path. What would you say?
Get off my lawn. All right. Here's what I got. So, the last couple days, I've actually had to have quite a few hot button topic issue conversations. And I'm finding myself not necessarily giving the right answers. I'm not going to claim that, but being a little more confident in my answers. At one point in time, hearing about the hot button issues, you know, we have in this day and age, you know, the laws that are being passed right now with gay marriage, and then, you know, the abortion situation, that there's a very hot button issue with Christians and non-believers and everything like that. The arguments between a lot of things. And I know that as a whole, a lot of people stray away from those conversations. And anytime they hear anyone bringing them up in conversation, the immediate, you know, veil of, oh, really, this conversation again? You want to hear about this? A lot of people get that mindset where, I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to talk to them about it. No, I'm not the person. I'm going to back out. Or I'm going to give them the answer they're looking for and kind of put a little bit of God spin on it, but not really. And just kind of be like, well, you know, God says this, but I'm more along the lines of this. And I feel like we fall short of that. But this week I kind of came to the realization that I've been studying up my Bible enough, and I've really been trying to get the heart of God on a lot of these issues by talking to fellow Christians and getting their thought processes on it and what they're thinking about, pulling up scripture and really reading into it. And the more I'm reading into this stuff, and the more I'm really reading into to the heart of God on it, the more confident I am with my answers. And I found very recently that it started to where I'm no longer avoiding these conversations. And I'm actually looking forward to them. It's more along the lines of, oh, well, you want to talk about that? Well, first off, you're not going to like my answer, most likely, but here's God's thoughts on it. And here's where I believe God's heart is on it. And I've had more of those conversations in the last couple weeks than I have in a very long time. And because of the fact that I've been praying on God every morning, really, to really guide my voice and guide my thoughts when I'm talking about this. So my advice to everyone would really be, A, as usual, study your Bible all the time, no matter what. Study it, study it, study it. Read it, read it, read it. Study, study, study. But one of the big things that I've seen myself being helped with is every single morning praying for God to not only use me in every situation that he can, really put me out there, but also fill me with his words. Like, really speak through me and speak to whatever these people need to hear through my words. You know, I always take it from, if I have to answer a question for somebody or talk to somebody about something godlike, and I really don't remember most of the time what I said, a lot of the time I attributed that to God was really working through me with that. But don't be afraid of those conversations. Really pray to God that he talks through those, because guess what? God's right all the time, 100% of the time. God is right on those issues. He has the correct answer, and he can use you to give that answer to somebody in a manner that really shows his heart and shows his love for people.
I can't decide whether I agree with you or disagree with you.
Okay, how come?
Well, here's the deal. Like, I agree that God takes a stance on things, and it's the truth. But I generally will not get in that conversation for any reason. Like, just for, there will be, I mean, seriously, so there's people know that I worship Christ. They know that,
okay,
right?
Right.
And they will say, hey, let's talk about abortion. And I say, no. And they say, why not? I says, because you already know where I stand. That's why you want to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? They just want to fight with me. And so, and that, like, I guess I don't see any gain there. Like, this is why I can't decide whether I agree with you or disagree with you. I can either look at what you're saying and say that I have been backing out of a lot of conversations I should be standing in, or on the flip side, which is kind of where I was at before this conversation came up, is that, like, the issues themselves matter nothing to me if you don't know Jesus. Then we're just talking about issues, and really, it's whether you and I agree on gay marriage or abortion, I don't care at all.
Right.
If you and I agree on Jesus, then now we have a conversation to have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, it's almost the same reason I don't get into very many political discussions, right? Like, I could care less if you agree with me on any certain issue or not. I more care if you agree in the principle. You know what I'm saying? If you agree in the backing of it. And so, I don't know, Booba. I feel like I disagree.
Okay.
Now that I think about it.
Well, so here's where I'm taking it from. So I agree on a certain standpoint of where you're coming from. A lot of those conversations can be absolutely for nothing. If somebody just wants to fight it out, yeah, that's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, through that conversation could facilitate more. There's no reason why God couldn't completely use that conversation that you're having with that person to, you know, a lot of times these hot button issues, whatever you want to call them, they're getting their answers from the wrong sources. So they want to fight it out because of the fact that, you know, they hear of, and I'm going to bring up a very, you know, cliche portion, but the Westboro Baptist Church. They're hearing about God's standpoint on gay marriage from them. And it's wrong. And yes, we're against it, but at the same time, you have to give some honest God feedback on it. I feel like you could very easily back out of a conversation where you could turn someone from absolutely hating God 100% because of intolerance to, if you give the right answer, where it's not about intolerance, it's about love and trying to protect us from stuff that's going to hurt us. It flips aside from, you know, God's just intolerant of these people and he doesn't want them to have rights to, okay, well, God wholeheartedly knows that this is going to hurt us and that's why we're avoiding it. So I feel like if you just, out of nowhere, for no reason besides the fact you just don't want to get the conversation, avoid those conversations, you could be avoiding some serious conversations where you could really help somebody. But if it's just, I mean, if you get into it and you realize that, you know, maybe 10 minutes in, it's all about they just want to argue and argue and argue and argue, there's no reason why you can't stop that conversation. But that doesn't mean that you can't have it to begin with.
Yeah, I'll engage the conversation, but if it becomes an argument, I just back out.
And right, say, and that's what I would do too. If it becomes just futility where you're just, oh, well, this, blah, 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 you know, just yelling back at each other and it's not productive.
Yeah. If you want to know honestly what God's word says about it, yeah, let's have a conversation. If you just want to try to draw lines and throw things at each other, eh, I'm not interested.
Yeah, which I found myself in both conversations. I found myself where someone wanted to talk about God at first and we start talking, and then all it was is they wanted to, you know, point fingers and then get angry about it and then just argue with me, and I'll back out of the conversation. But if they're honestly trying to figure out from a serious, real standpoint why God is on this and what our thoughts are on this for the sake of their own knowledge, then it's a great conversation to have.
And I think that's probably the distinction, right? Because to Mike's point, you're not really arguing the issue, right? The issue is not really the deal. The question is, are you able to talk about that issue and ultimately show the heart of God through it? That's really where the gain is. Because, Mike, that's where you're at, right? Like, the point is, do you know Jesus? Well, can you get to know God better through where the Bible shows his heart is in some of those issues? You bet you can. You can know God in those situations. And so I think that's probably where the distinction is. If you just want to argue about those issues, that's not really going to help. But like, is it a conversation that otherwise shows the heart of God, which gets to the meat of what Mike's talking about?
Yeah, actually, you know, Boo, I think that's actually come up in the last couple of weeks. A friend of mine at work asked me, and he's a Christian man, he says, and so you know, he asked me if it was okay for him to stand up at a gay wedding as the best man, and I said no. Actually, here's what he asked me. He asked me if I would do it, and I said, No, I don't think so. I don't think I could do that. And he wanted, and that was his big ringers. He's like, why? Why couldn't you do that, right? And as a Christian, what I said was, is I said, basically, you're standing up and saying, I am celebrating your separation from God. I am celebrating your celebration in your separation from God, right? And that's as far from loving as you can get. Because, I mean, generally the world's going to look at that and go, you self-righteous jerk. You can't be happy for somebody? Go to his wedding, stand up, and say, I'm happy for you. The truth is like, while I would like to see a X level of happiness across the board for everybody, I know how that's attained, right? That's attained through faith in Christ. God provides joy. Everything else is just it's a Splenda. It's a Splenda version of joy. Or I like to call it, I better not say that. Anyway, it's a Splenda version of joy. It's artificial. It's not right. Right. Right? And so, you know, like, that's going to be a hard conversation for that guy to have with his friend, because they're friends,
right?
You know, but on the flip side, like, it's a great opportunity to say why, because I don't think anybody, if you're listening with an open heart, I don't think anyone can misconstrue the why. You know what I'm saying? When you say, look, you're basically asking me to celebrate your separation from your Creator, and I just can't do that with you. I can't. You know, I don't want to talk about your issues or where we disagree, or, you know, we can still be friends, but I can't. I just can't do it, you know? And so, like, that, it is an awkward place to be in, but you're right. It does bridge a conversation, but it does also reveal that maybe, you know, you didn't take a strong enough stand in your life of Christ anyway, that they don't know that about you already. You know, like it probably right. should not have been much of a question.
All right.
All right.
All right. They've left the lawn.
Cool.
Thanks, John Booba.
They're all arguing right now.
They're all arguing right now. Completely understandable.
Oh man. Dude.
Oh, so here's the question that I was thinking through this week. I opened up with the question about the drinks, right? Hey, I might get a coffee around 2 o'clock. May I pray the Lord and see whether I should get the coffee or the tea. I get 1:59. I'm like, I feel like I haven't heard from the Lord about this coffee. Should I wait? And I think generally speaking, we'd be like, you know, the Lord is not all that concerned about which coffee you get. Just go ahead and get something to drink, right? And so the question is like, what other things do we have going on in our lives that we've kind of separated and said God doesn't care? I don't know. I'll give you where I'm coming from. I have I have something coming up where I have there's a trip that I have the option to go to on. And I'm pretty sure that I didn't spend enough time praying about it. I'm just like, well, yeah, it sounds great. You know, everything I went through my mind, I'm like, yeah. No, I think this sounds like a good idea. And then, you know, after talking it over with some folks, I think maybe now I'm thinking, you know, they're concerned that perhaps I didn't spend enough time, you know, praying on it, running it by. And I thought, man, I pray all the time. I love Jesus. It did not occur to me to spend a bunch of time praying on that thing. And then I thought, well, have I done the wrong thing? What am I missing here?
I think in a lot of situations, obviously, we need to gauge, you know, if God wants that door to be open in that situation. And, you know, is this the right situation for me to be taking advantage of? And should I be going this way? I think with a lot of our situations and choices we have to make, we do ask that question. But at the same time, I think a lot of the situation is, you know, are we even giving it to God in the first place? Did we even come to God in this? In this case, if it's a vacation or a trip or anything like that, do you see any real big issues with you going on it from a faith standpoint? Like, if your trip is to go, you know, with a couple buddies for 3 weeks to be away from your family and, you know, you're just going to be go hanging out with them and go camping, you know, is that something you really need to do? Should you be praying on that? You know, yeah, you can pray on that. But if you don't have an honest no, don't go, or yes, go from God, I don't think that's something where you really need to worry about whether or not you should go. But when it comes to like life-changing situations, that'd be my standby, is if it's something that could honestly affect, you know, my life course from here on, should I go to Uganda for the next year and a half or not? Or, you know, going to your original thing of should I have coffee or pop? I think that needs to be judged on an individual basis, and it's not just something we can give you a cookie cutter for.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I think I like to have a general prayer for guidance, for wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, open the doors that need to be open, closed. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of live your life. I think there are times you get a special prodding. And that's a hard one. I don't know how to define that. Sometimes I don't know if that was really a prodding or if it was just me thinking I had a really great idea. You know, well, I really need to go, you know, to Chuck E. Cheese right now. And that wouldn't be something I would normally think. That's the tough thing, is really how do you know if it's a God moment or a cosmic distraction, or if it's just a thing. I mean, you know, that's tough in the believer's life in multiple ways.
Right. The basic God, let your will be done thing kind of takes over that. It's, you know, God, if you want me here, send me here. If you don't, stop me from going. Yeah. But
you represent Jesus either way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. As you go, Matthew 28 says, as you go, whatever it is you're doing, you make disciples. Yeah. So, wherever you are.
And actually, I feel like the Bible lays that out, and sometimes interpreters discredit, but like, you know, some of the more charismatic type stuff, when you look at the Bible, it's pretty much the highlights. You know what I'm saying? It's like watching SportsCenter and expecting every hit off the bat to be a home run or a guy diving for a ball. And that ain't the deal.
Sometimes you strike out.
Right. And so, like, it's not like they chronicled every day of the desert. There was 40 years of complaining in there.
Right.
That they pretty much said, there was 40 years of complaining, you know. And so, it's not like, you know, I mean, the Bible would be huge. Moses woke up that day and he said, thanks for this bed, Jesus. Thanks for the manna again. I really appreciate it. Thanks you for leading us through this desert for 37 years. Day 17.
And the Israelites whined.
And Abinadab scratched his butt. Next chapter.
I sent Aaron to speak with him.
I was
Boy,
just
he has a silver tongue.
I wasn't sure what to say to him. I didn't know if we needed to have that hygiene conversation. So, Aaron, go take care of that.
But here's the deal. I mean, look, if you can think of one off the top of your head of the Bible where God didn't show up. You know what I'm saying? Where God needed to show up and he didn't.
Right.
He always shows up when he needs to because he's God.
Well, that's one of the things, though. It gets confusing because, you know, someone could say, well, for Stephen, they were throwing rocks at him and he died.
Yeah.
Well, that was part of God's plan.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, guess what? We all die.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, someday I might have cancer and people will pray for me and I'll still die, maybe.
Yeah, but he knew that. But he knew that was coming,
Stephen
right?
knew it. Yeah, yeah.
But he knew it.
How about his wife? I don't know if he was married or not.
Yeah, maybe
praying
not.
For, you know, save my husband.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, God said no.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. How's his wife feel about it?
It doesn't matter. It's how God feels about it. God says, Stephen, you're dying.
I think if you've aligned yourself well enough, and well, at least done your best to align yourself with the will of God and what you want to do and what your heart calls you to do as much as possible with the will of God, praying on, you know, God, send me where you want me to go. Here I am. Send me a deal from Isaiah. And then, you know, let your will be done. I wholeheartedly believe that God's going to send you down the right path. He's got you on a plan. He's not going to just let you go off for no reason where he can't use you.
I think, I think you'll rarely do what is wrong, but you may not necessarily do what is best.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think he has plans A and B. You know, he gives us choices. I sure hope they plan that you take plan A. Well, it looks like it's 40 years for you. You get plan B. Exactly. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Here's Wisconsin for a couple years.
Yeah.
Bummer. Wisconsin's the 40 years in the desert. That's terrible. Dear Life from the Path, I have led an unusual life. I lived abroad alone in my late teens, spent my early 20s exploring the West, and finished my college degree a year early while working full time. It gave me independence, experience, and clarity. Man, it gave me a headache. My problem
I'm
is,
tired.
In dating, I feel leagues ahead of men who are my age. I'm attracted to much older men. My current boyfriend is 15 years older than I am. The age gap is often a topic of conversation among my acquaintances, coworkers, and some family members. My boyfriend has also experienced unwanted comments about dating a much younger woman. What are your thoughts on who a person should be dating in her early 20s? And how should I deal with those who believe I am breaking a social code?
So she's early 20s, and the guy is 15 years older than her.
So
late 30s.
Ah, come on.
Yeah.
It's a social code. It really is. But it's up to you if you're going to live by it.
Yeah, exactly. Try this out. Look him in the eye and say, baby, you're not worth this social hassle.
Yeah,
exactly.
See how that goes.
I really care about you, but I'm really sick of these comments, so we got to be done.
Yeah.
I kind of feel for her. We're not really growing the cream of the crop dudes anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Let's say you meet a dude who's 25, he still acts like he's 14. You could either be dating a 40-year-old man or a 14-year-old. You know, you got to go with the 40-year-old guy. You know, are people going to be upset about it? Whatever. You know, they took the low road. I feel like you should keep dating this old man.
I'm early 20s, dude. You're totally, like, destroying my game.
Tell me, of your cast of character buddies, is there anybody that's towing their true age?
No, absolutely not. Not even me. I act like a 14-year-old.
Yep, belch, blah, 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 profanity, blah, 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 shoplifting.
Troy.
That was Tuesday.
I didn't realize that I shoplifted, but all right.
And John Buva scratched his butt.
Aaron came and talked to me.
Hello, radio station. Those boys on Life from the Past said butt twice. I heard it.
This one might not make the radio, be honest.
I think it's fine.
I think it's all
right. Don't give another second thought to it. If he's the right man and he loves Jesus and he's taking care of you, I don't give it another thought.
Wait a minute. Maybe she should pray about it.
Yeah. I think that should be the advice in all situations, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Assume pray about it is the first step.
Okay.
All our advice comes next.
Right.
Let's say it's John Waller. She's dating John Waller. He's a single man, but he's like a 39, 38.
Yeah.
He loves Jesus.
He seems great.
We got no problems, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care.
Here's Secular's advice. I can't give you an unbiased opinion because when I was in my early 20s, I dated older men. They like to talk, I like to listen, and I learned a great deal about life from them. I hope the same will be true for you. As to how you should deal with people who accuse you of breaking a social norm, unless they have a valid reason for criticizing the man you're dating, I think you should tune them out. Ooh. Tuning you out, Pops. Dear Life from the Path. Ooh. My husband and my son get along better with me when they're not together. When I am there, they gang up on me and become adversarial. I have reached a point where I hate to be around them at the same time. I don't know what to do about this. When I try to talk to my husband about it, he gets angry and blames me. I don't think I can take much more. What do you think about this?
Wait, so they don't get along when she's not there?
They get along fine when they're not around the mom. But when all three of them are together, they start fighting with each other, and then they end up ganging up on the mom.
Sorry. I don't understand. Like, what is...
She has a good relationship with each one individually, but not in the
same
way.
Are you sure?
They get together, the worst comes out.
Maybe she's the troublemaker. She's the common denominator. This is the troublemaker.
What'd she say? That they get adversarial? Yeah, it seems like... So they just gang up on her whenever they're together? So the worst... They bring the worst out of each other.
Wait, hold on. They get along when she's not around, though.
Yeah, they get along with each other.
And then
they
fight
when
she's there. She's the problem.
No, they don't fight with each other. They fight with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the problem.
Okay, you guys have muddied this up to the point where it's not even followable. Okay. Here you go. when the husband is with the wife, they get along great.
Oh.
When the child is with the wife, they get along great. When the husband, the child, and the wife are all together, the dude and the son start to gang up on the mom and cause a ruckus.
Oh.
Here's the deal. She is a little bit weak, and they're men, and they pounce. Even though they don't mean to, and they probably regret it later, they see a weakness, and they go after it. They really need to man up and stop it.
Yeah, it seems like they just bring the worst out of each other when they're together and ganging up on the wife. So it seems that the father really needs to step up and just be like, hey, you know, that's... The woman
to treat
that
her like
I love
a queen.
With all my heart. I know you're my son. Yeah. You know, we need to treat mom a lot better than that.
Yeah. Actually, that's and dudes can fall into that trap fairly easily.
Yep.
But in the funnel of a decision making, it goes Jesus first, then your wife, then your kids, then your job, and then everything else. You're on the list somewhere, but it wasn't even the top five. So if you've got your funnel inverted somewhere, you've put your kids above your wife. Even in a small, you know, you can perceive it as a small way. Like, it's all right to, you know, get together as a family and, you know, I don't know, hide something in the laundry so mom finds it and freaks out. That's kind of funny, and that's okay, right? But, like, when you get to the point where you're disrespecting your wife and you're moving roles where you and the kids are demeaning your significant other, you got a real problem because you don't have a funnel anymore. You have some kind of bulbous-looking lava lamp that is not useful for making decisions. Right, it's just
you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church.
Right,
you aren't, and you're creating confused children. Because here's the deal: like, I can promise you this: of all the failings that I have as a father, my children know that it's never them against them and me against their mother. They can tell you that right off the bat. It's always hurt their mother and I as a team, and then there's them, and it will always be that way, and they will never be mistaken otherwise.
Oh, I fail at that. I say things like, well, your mother said blah, 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 blah.
No.
I got to stop that stuff.
Yeah, I've been known to do that, too. Yeah. I'm sometimes very bad at that.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be when the kids were younger. And Danielle, one of my children, and her mom would sometimes just have a natural just think differently.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of my children knew how to push the buttons and when to push it. And sometimes I would sit back and think, I secretly kind of agree,
right.
You know, but and then mentally think, but I've got to stick with mom. You know, I mean, I would never let it get too far, but there were times I just was silent, and I should have stood up and just said, "Go to bed."
Yeah, here's the deal: you're pushing my best friend around.
This is your mom.
It's not gonna continue.
So I've been guilty.
My dad brought it from the standpoint of, you know, I love you boys with all my heart. You know, there's no doubt about that. But I love your mother in a different way, and it's her and I. And that's what it is.
I said that once to my 4-year-old, and she started crying and said,
"Daddy doesn't love me.
You just said you don't love me. You said you love Mama more." I said, "Yes, I did say that."
Right.
I don't know how else to put that.
My dad would say that later on. Like, we're 12, 13 years old. Yeah. It's just like, okay, you're with mom. She's your wife. You love her more than you love us. Yeah. We're your kids. It's a different kind of love. We understand that.
Yeah, it's a love, and it's the kind of love that says you need to leave now because you're getting old.
Yeah, it's the kind of love that says, "Hey, 18, go.
I will kick you out, but your mother gets to stay."
I'm not buying two washers.
Yeah, right.
You need to leave now.
Mom gets flowers and chocolates every once in a while. I just am there. Yeah. Like, that's what it is.
You get the boot.
You get the boot. Go outside and play.
Here's secular's advice: if picking on you is part of their male bonding, it's unhealthy. Your husband may do it because he has underlying anger issues he doesn't express directly to you.
I don't know.
He's a wimp.
He is a wimp. Your son may participate.
I don't know if he's got underlying anger issues. He's just a pansy.
Your son may participate because his father encourages it, but he should not be allowed to treat you with disrespect. Before this takes a further toll on your marriage, the three of you should get family counseling. If that doesn't help, you may need individual counseling to help you either stand up for yourself or decide whether you can continue living this way.
Or just get smartphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about nobody talking to nobody.
Just text message each other, and if you get two text messages at the same time, you could just deal with them one at a time from your son.
I don't, you know.
I'm not surprised.
You think that's enough? Is that enough to go to the counseling?
No,
I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
You know, why don't you just stop doing that?
Yeah, the dad needs to man up as a husband to a wife and the father to a son.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. The man needs to man up.
I'll tell you this. I'm constantly making jokes about the food that gets eaten at my place. Because sometimes...
Ben, why do I feel like we need to have a conversation?
I know. And like, it's funny. Like, they're funny jokes, but they're ultimately inappropriate because they start to hurt my wife's feelings. And it just needs to stop. Like, we don't need to see somebody about it. I just need to stop acting like that.
Right.
That's the answer.
Yeah, exactly. You need to bring in counseling because obviously someone doesn't know something. Well, they need to just...
I mean, I think there are problems where you need... There's, like, big things to work through.
Right.
But, like, if it's just, hey, there's this one thing going on and so-and-so needs to stop it.
Yeah,
they just need to stop it.
Right.
Okay. I'm with you.
Maybe I might... Maybe I'm way on the other side of the fence this, but I won't even let my kids say, hey, I have a secret. Don't tell mommy. I say, I don't keep secrets from your mother.
No, see, I won't do that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I don't
do
that.
Way out of there.
I'm more likely to try to make a funny at the mother's expense.
Yeah.
In fact, almost all my flaws, again, that where I fail as a husband father is because I thought something was funny.
Oh.
It's very sad.
I think what it boils down to is the husband and the wife need to be a team for their kids. You are a team working with the family.
Can't we be a comedy team?
if she's in on the bit, sure.
Somebody has to be the butt, though.
Good cop, bad cop.
That's three butts.
Then alternate. Four. She makes fun of you one time, you make fun of
I'd have
the
to feed
time.
The jokes. I'm the funny one.
Fine, you write them.
Shoot.
Yeah, no, it just needs to be the team. You need to be a team.
I'm
going to
wake her up when I get home. We're
going to
talk about it.
Kids.
You can. I'll be the butt.
You got time for one more?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay. Dear Life from the Path, a relative of mine has a 5-year-old son who is at least 20 or 30 pounds overweight. Everyone in the family is concerned about it, but no one knows how to bring it up to the parents without offending them. We don't understand how the parents or grandparents don't see his weight as an issue. Bullying is a huge deal among children, and we fear he might have trouble with other kids his age teasing him. However, we are more worried about his health than anything. Being that overweight is a lot for anyone, but especially a young child. Mm-hmm. What should we do? Mm-hmm. Someone in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tackle this one, gentlemen, if you don't mind.
Do you have a 5-year-old boy?
Yes, me being a single mother. get your nose out of their business. Stop it. Knock it off. You're ridiculous. They know. No one looks at an overweight person and says,
what?
Maybe. Like, there's no time when you look at someone who is obviously obese and think to yourself, they're not obese.
They were fine last night?
No one wakes up in the morning and says, ah, what happened? No one gains that weight overnight. It happens. The parents need to handle it. Get your nose out of their business. They know. If it gets to a point where you honestly, wholeheartedly believe for years that these parents are failing their child 100% of the way, maybe you can bring it up to them and say, hey, you know, from an honest standpoint, from obviously we care more than you do about this. Your child is obviously unhealthy. Let's talk. But there's a point where you just need to leave it alone and let them do their thing. They are the parent. You are not. That's all I'm saying.
Mike?
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with Boova. It's weird. But, I mean, unless they're having to Oompa Loompa this kid in and out of the door. I mean, Troy's right. They know, right? What if the kid just he's sneaking granola bars and he's
done it.
He's chucking three portions at once while mom's doing the dishes. Who knows? You know, like, you can only do so much. You can't lock the kid in a dungeon. You know, most of them, you know, they burn it off by the time they're 30 anyway. It's fine. I mean, unless he takes up smoking, he's probably all right for a while. I'd leave him be. 5 years old, he's fine. Who's going to play football if you straighten that kid out?
Right. You need linemen from somewhere.
We're
going to
end up with European soccer. That's what's going to happen around here.
Is that what you want? Polo?
We need football with two O's, not a U.
I mean, seriously, by the time those kids get to be 15, 16, you know, seriously, most of them fill in.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They get taller, and the wide comes with them, and they're just big dudes. Look at Dan. He's like 6'5". Were you a husky kid?
No, I was not.
You seriously?
I waited till I got older.
Oh. Right, that's where it happens.
I put the effort into it.
You get really husky kids that just completely fill out and are fine, and then you get really skinny kids that are just boom.
You're listening to Live from the Path, brought to you by Westfield Veterinary Hospital in Johnston and the Eisenlauer Real Estate Team, eisenlauerteam.com. Hey, if you're listening on 99.3 KTIA, we've got to let you go. Have a wonderful week. Okay, so, you know, here's what my initial thought was. Because we love the podcaster folks, we should do them a favor and cut the show off now and not force them to listen to the additional content on this program. But we at least have to get the secular advice in.
Okay, the secular advice for the, where was it? The Chubba-Wubba. How do you know the child's parents and grandparents don't see his weight as an issue? A way to raise the subject would be to mention your concern and ask what the boy's pediatrician has had to say about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's going to go over smooth.
Pediatrician think they're fat, too?
Here's my concern. I think your boy's unhealthy. What does his doctor say? That's what I want to hear as a parent. Yeah,
exactly. Have they addressed this at the school cafeteria?
Yeah
exactly.
I feel it's got to be everyone else's problem.
Ridiculous.
Let's see. Who gives that advice? While years ago doctors may have been reluctant to raise the issue, today they are much less so because the American Medical Association has declared obesity to be a disease. Also, as a relative, try to include the boy in physical activities you engage in. Want to play some cricket? We're going to the park for cricket.
Jimmy.
You want to go?
Hey, let's go fly a kite or something.
You can't hold a cricket paddle in a Snickers bar?
That's what passes for exercise at your place? Kite flying?
Honestly, to be 100% honest, when it comes to those weight gains...
Take a step left.
This is me...
My heart's beating. It's beating. Beating
let
fast.
Me explain. This
resistance training is great.
If you know what, I got to pee. That's got to be another 20 calories right there.
So I have to run to get it going?
From experience, to be honest, the first step at getting them to exercise is to get them outside. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
A lot of the times in our society, especially with the fact that we have so much available at our kids' fingertips inside the house. You know, at one point in time, there wasn't all this stimulation inside the house. You know, we didn't have, you know, the TV, the Game Boy, the Xbox, the
smartphone,
laptop, everything like we do now. Now the biggest deal is, first off, get your kids outside of the house, and that's why I say fly the kite. Not because it's a very strenuous thing.
All I can do is see this kid like sitting like a bump on a log watching TV. His old man picks up the chair and puts him outside, and now he's bumping a log and out on the sidewalk.
Dude, you guys must really know how to fly kites, because when I fly kites, I am running the whole time. Because I'm struggling to get the kite off the ground.
The best way to get exercise is to suck at kite flying.
The best way to get exercise as a child is to be terrible at kite flying. No, I will tell you, I was so bad when I was a kid that my parents would actually ground me to outside. And it wasn't like cruel. It was, I would sit in my room all day. And I would not leave. It's summer. If my friends are outside playing, and I'm just sitting on my butt being lazy.
Hey, come out, buddy.
No. Playing Pokemon, guys. I'm almost there. No. And I would not leave my house. So my parents would have to say, Troy, get out of the house. Go. And they would shut the door. They wouldn't, like, lock me out and then never let me back in. But they'd say, you're not coming back in until the streetlights come on. When Trey comes in, my older brother, when he comes inside, you can come inside. But until then, you stay outside.
I love the way your house works.
It worked.
Get in this giant novelty hamster wheel. And do not come out until that kite is flying.
Until the,
why don't you pick up the fishing?
Yeah, exactly. I hear golf is nice, but no cards. It's
blow bubbles. It's good for your heart.
Hey, man, when you go from no exercise to holding onto a kite, that's like a million times better.
Did you ever like creepily stand outside the door?
Yep.
I'm out here.
Oh, totally. For a while they were doing, I would sit on the porch. I would just sit right there, and they would come, Troy, go do something. No, I'm outside. I'm fine.
I have a finger cramp from that kite, Dad.
You gave me that kite, and I couldn't get it to fly. It's broken. I threw it away. I got mad. The neighbor kids made fun of me because I'm 20 to 30 pounds overweight. My relatives keep coming up to me and saying, what does your pediatrician have to say about that? That's getting ridiculous, guys.
Here's the deal with this. It's part of our society is this crazy thing is they feel like they have to get in anybody's business about everything, except things that really matter. You know, if you talk about Jesus, you're going to be shut down. But if I can talk about your weight or your bad habits, or I can talk about your cell phone, or I can talk about the color of car you have, there's all kinds of crazy things. The society, the color of car is not really a big deal. But you know what I'm talking about.
Is that a
blue car?
That's a hot button issue in my neighborhood. Is that a yellow car?
It all depends on where you're from.
I was wondering why I made Facebook friends with Dan.
We don't take kindly to folks who have red cars around here.
Blue cars are for pansies and communists. Love, Pastor Dan Hudson.
Red cars, fascist.
Let me in your life. I want to talk about Jesus.
No, I agree entirely. We are. It's ridiculous. Obesity is not something that should be a village raising. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are you about to disagree with me? You're mumbling.
Here's the deal. I've seen like a 5-year-old, 4-year-old. I mean, like drinking a quart of orange juice or something.
like Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never seen Honey.
Is it possible that the parents? I mean, not that they don't know that their kid's overweight, but like. They really don't understand where it's coming from?
No, and I
said, like, hey, man, my kid's always like, he doesn't ever listen to me, and he's all wired. It's like, well, he's jacked up because you give him candy.
When it's no longer an issue of, okay, that was kind of a bad mistake on the parents' behalf. Did they get, you know, that 5-year-old a full 2-liter of Coke and say, have a great day? Yeah, that's a terrible decision. But is that something you should really jump in on? Unless you're seeing it as a habitual thing that the parents are honestly, truly, 100% not taking care of their kids and being... causing real health issues with their kids, which happens quite a bit. But I think we need to gauge that on a situational basis, because I think it's very easy to mistake, little Jimmy had a glass of chocolate milk the other day and then went get back and got a Coke. That was terrible. And
right. His parents probably let him do it all the time.
Yeah,
that's all
parents,
he does.
Right. You're
and really,
that line of,
he's on water all the time. Right, it's exactly. A special occasion. He got chocolate milk and soda.
And right? You see a kid walking out of school and then taking out his backpack. He's got 3 double cheeseburgers every single day. You see that. You know, maybe that's a situation. I would not be surprised if for some.
He's like a low rent cheeseburger mafia. He's in third grade, man.
I'm serious. I've seen some people make some serious bad decisions.
Dude, what makes you so hungry? Kite flying.
It was really windy.
My parents kicked me out of the house the other day. So, what? You're like 7. Yeah, they told me to go outside and exercise. So I picked up a kite real quick. That seemed to do the trick for them. They were okay with it.
Saturday, I went on a 72-mile bike ride, okay?
Rub it in.
And No, I'm just saying. I got done. I had a kite with me, too. No, I didn't. But
did you do it while cycling? Because I hear that's great exercise.
But I'm a Superman.
I thought to myself, I was starving. You know, you burn a lot of calories. Like, I'll eat anything. I needed something quick. So I went to a local fast food establishment in Waukee, and I couldn't even eat half the sandwich. I mean, I was starving, and it was so bad. I just thought, well, I don't know how to – it was disgusting.
If you go long enough without eating that stuff, and, you know, not to get on a completely different subject, but if you go long enough without eating that stuff, it's disgusting.
Oh.
When you go back to it. And if you have been healthy
That's not that I've been all that healthy either.
The fact of the matter is that food is not designed to make your body run better. And
exactly.
Your body at that point in time,
my body was rejecting it.
It
going,
needed fuel,
yeah.
And you gave it junk.
It's happened. Just like exercise, though. As long as you push through it, you can get used to it.
Exactly.
Eat the other half. Come on, buddy.
If you really scarf push down that breakfast sandwich, you'll be set, man.
Most alcoholics I know always say the same thing. The first drink, you feel terrible about yourself. But if you keep rolling,
you just got to have that integrity.
You're fine.
Man. You got to keep pushing through. You don't like that fast food, you got to keep eating. It'll get better.
All right, you're listening live from the path. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us tonight. We do hope to see you next week where we also have nothing planned. Things should be fine. Things are just going to be fine. You can catch us during the week at livefromthepath.org and watch the show when it was in its all its good glory.
last week.
There are clips. You can play the games. You can play the End of the World game. You can check out clips from Chandra Knutson and a bunch of the other artists that we've had on the show, and also past interviews with the aforementioned John Waller and just a lot of and the folks from Now Serving 7. Lots of cool stuff out there, so go check out livefromthepath.org. We hope to see you during the week, and we'll also catch you next week. Thanks for listening.